Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
I play rough when I need to.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance.
I need to grow up.
Hand them these lines. Okay, now we're going to shoot it this way, and now you just say, like that, I play rough when I need to. That was a promo, right? That wasn't something you actually said.
Oh, no, he said it.
No, but I'm saying, Key, that wasn't something that came up in conversation. They handed you a script that said, I play rough when I need to.
Man, I don't remember. That thing was so long ago, dog. I don't even want to sit up here and lie to you and tell you it was yesterday. I couldn't remember. I don't know.
I play rough when I need to.
But I also know the difference between Key's.
Relax.
I know the difference between Key's promo voice and his normal speaking voice.
It was like, legendary. You know, that was, yeah.
Yeah, that was.
I was trying to.
Key's Dave Chappelle anchor voice. You know what I mean?
I'm trying to get to the people, you know?
Yeah,
you
got
certain people you need to touch.
Yeah.
I was trying to touch those people. Because I could have just said, yo, man, I play rough. And they would have been like, well.
Non-threatening.
Yeah, you want to be.
Yes.
Look at me.
Certain people, they put
He's wearing Brooks Brothers. He's one of us.
Including size. If you're over 6'4", it's like now you have to be really non-threatening. All right.
Yes. Yeah, you have to drive what I drive. And
maybe
look at a certain wave. And
right. Key, they measured him up at the neighborhood combine. They said, oh, wait, he really is 6'4".
The neighborhood wave, Jay. The neighborhood wave.
Nancy. I'll see you for the Beveren Blitz.
It's always got to be, you got to have your hand right now. You can't be like, you got to be, everything's got to be nice and non-threatening, Max.
Yes. Right, as I said, in NFL, they actually measure you up at the combine, all the things. They saw Key, like, if he's 6'2". Maybe, 6'4", get him a Prius.
Yeah, if we put him in a Prius, we don't get out of the Prius.
No, stay in the Prius.
I need you to stay in the Prius with the Queen of England wave. You'll be fine.
Yes, talk about Carrera Marble. NFL off-season grades, pass, fail, or incomplete. This is Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max coming to you live from the Seaport, brought to you by Grey Goose. Shannon, take it away.
All right, here we go. Pass, fail, or incomplete. We'll start with the AFC, Key. The first team up, the New York Jets, right? They signed Alan Lazard to a 4-year deal. They re-signed their linebacker, Quincy Williams. They traded for safety Chuck Clark from the Ravens. But they did lose backup quarterback Mike White. So, Key, for the New York Jets, pass, fail, or incomplete?
I think it's a pass grade, no question about it. Alan Lazard and Chuck Clark coming over. Nathaniel Hackett is the key ingredient to bringing Aaron Rodgers to the New York Jets, and I'm assuming Aaron Rodgers is going there. So if you put him on there and replace it Mike White, how could you not give him a pass grade?
Yeah, because he's not on there yet. That's why they're incomplete. He's not on there yet. You could tell me that the deal is done. I've seen many situations where, that deal's done, and then the deal doesn't get done. I'm like, I thought it was done. So my thing is, until they get Aaron Rodgers, all this stuff is great. But even if they have all these pieces, good luck with Zach Wilson. So, for me, it's incomplete until they get Aaron Rodgers.
I'm going to assume they got Rodgers, and I'll say pass easily because, you know, why do they let Mike White walk? Because they have Zach Wilson under contract. And Zach Wilson's whole thing about, I'm going to make such a living hell, Aaron Rodgers is like his idol, man. He's going to be fine. If anything,
that was before he knew Aaron Rodgers was coming. Max.
Yeah, but you know what, Key? It's not like Zach Wilson got a leg to stand on. See, Max, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
but he knows what it is. But when he was talking that noise, he was thinking, Jimmy G, baby, you know.
Right. But I'm saying this makes it easier, though.
You know,
because you can accept, like, what are you going to really say about it? It's Aaron Rodgers.
You know what the problem with assuming is, Max? You make an ass out of you and me when you assume.
That's true.
Sound like
figure out a way around that one, though. Go ahead, Shannon.
All right, the next team, the Denver Broncos. They hired Sean Payton as their head coach. They signed defensive lineman Zach Allen to a 3-year deal. They also went out and signed Samaje Perine, the running back, to a 2-year deal. Also, offensive lineman Ben Powers, they signed him to a 4-year deal. Key, Denver Broncos, pass, fail, or incomplete this offseason?
I think it's a pass. They bring in Sean Payton. That's certainly an upgrade from Nathaniel Hackett. Samaje Perine replacing Mike Boone and Chase Edmonds at the running back position. Zach Allen on the defensive line. So when you start to look at this team, they upgrading on the offensive line as well. What did Sean Payton say to us when he was on our show when he first got hired by the Denver Broncos? They want to run the football, establish the physicality up front, and then allow Russell Wilson to be a part of the passing game, much like he was in his early success with the Seattle Seahawks. Somewhat Sean Payton taking a page from Pete Carroll.
Yeah, I'll go pass here with Key. I just find it so ironic that Russ throughout his time with Seattle, wanted it to be more of a pass-heavy offense, even though Pete wanted to run the ball more and rely on their defense. And now going to Denver Broncos, the pass-heavy offense has failed. It hasn't really worked out. And now with Sean Payton, they're reverting back to the same thing that Russ is trying to get away from, which is a run-heavy offense and a defense.
Careful what you wish for, right? Easily a pass. I think this is the biggest move of the offseason, including Rodgers to the Jets when that happens. Understand the ripple effect of this move. So they get Russell Wilson. They trade the farm for him. They give him a big contract. And the way he played this year, that might have gone down as the worst trade, certainly since the Herschel Walker trade, right? Like, but it maybe ever. Now they bring in a guy that's going to save the day. Like, you will at least compete now. And the fact that they dug themselves so deep and now may really have a way out of it to make the best of it, I think it's the best move of the entire offseason.
All right, moving on. Looking at the Miami Dolphins, they picked up the fifth-year contract option on Tua. They traded for Jalen Ramsey. They signed Mike White, who we mentioned earlier. Key, pass, fail, or incomplete for the Miami Dolphins?
I think it is certainly a pass for them. You know, when you look at they picking up Jalen Ramsey, you put him alongside Xavier Howard. You got two of the best cornerbacks in the National Football League. If they can get back to form from a couple years ago together, they'll be the best duo in the National Football League. Vic Fangio coming over as the defensive coordinator certainly helps out the situation in a big way. He likes to play a lot of man-to-man on the defensive side. They bring up David Long Jr. from the Rams. So they've got some familiarity back there. They just got to keep Tua healthy. We already know what the offense is all about. Just keep him healthy, and they're certainly in a passing situation.
Yeah, I say pass. I like VC as a DC. That just rhymed and just happened naturally. And also Jalen Ramsey with Howard. I like that combination. I like this pass-heavy offense as well. And I do like the addition of Mike White, and considering what has happened with Tua before, I do think Mike White is a serviceable quarterback in the NFL.
I also give it a pass, and also easily a pass. Like, I wish there were grades, because these would all, so far all the teams get good grades.
B plus?
At least, because it depends what Ramsey really has left. And even if he's coming off a bad season, as Key says, there's no reason, or there's reason to believe you can have a very good season, especially across from another very good corner. They bring in real depth at the quarterback position, a guy who can play in the NFL. I think they did a good job. By the way, we're playing NFL offseason grades, pass, fail, incomplete here on KJM ESPN Radio.
Shannon, let's go!
Progressive Insurance.
All right, Key, the Las Vegas Raiders, they signed Jimmy G to a three-year deal. Josh Jacobs received the non-exclusive franchise tag. They signed Jacoby Myers to a three-year deal, but they let Derek Carr go, and they also traded Darren Waller to the Giants. Las Vegas Raiders, pass, fail, or incomplete this offseason?
It's an incomplete so far. I got to see in the draft in the second and third wave of free agency when you look at Jimmy Garoppolo coming over, O.J. Howard coming over, Jacoby Myers. It's going to be interesting to see what type of slot receiver sets with Jacoby Myers along with Renfro. They let Darren Waller get away, which was your big tight end. The Giants certainly jumped all over that because guess what? Tight ends are quarterback friendly for quarterbacks. That's why you see the best quarterbacks with the best tight ends. I don't know what the Raiders were thinking. They didn't upgrade on the defensive side. They picked up a safety. But that's pretty much it. So it's incomplete for now.
I'll go fail. I mean, I respect Jimmy G. Doesn't feel different to me than Derek Carr does. I mean, even Jacoby Myers doesn't wow me, like as a number two to in addition to Devontae Adams. And then I think losing Darren Waller, just he was a huge red zone target, man. Yeah. This dude was special. I think there's a lot of challenges there with the Raiders. I think it feels more like a rebuild situation than a team that's going to contend in the AFC.
Yeah, I don't dislike it, though. I'm going to pass them. Like, yes, Darren Waller is good to keep, especially if you think you're going to compete for a Super Bowl. I don't see the Raiders that way. But I do see them getting a quarterback in Jimmy G, who you might like Derek Carr more. I don't know, in a playoff game, I'd take Jimmy G. But beyond that, he's a lot cheaper. Like, for more or less the same tier of quarterback, you just saved some money. You signed a nice little receiver. You signed a tight end with upside maybe still. You, like, it's okay. Like, I'm not going to fail
him. O.J. Howard, yeah. But, I mean, so you're giving them a pass for being marginal?
They're incomplete,
I mean, if anything, I think they put themselves in a better position going forward.
What would complete it for you, Key?
Let's see what they do with the draft, because we're talking about the offseason. and let's see the second and third wave of free agency, because there's going to be some there's going to be some low-hanging fruit out there, Jay, that we're not thinking about. Guys that, you know, like, for instance, Zeke Elliott is still available, right? There may be a guy. I'm just saying.
Yeah,
there's a guy and a name that, that's going to come about. There's a second and third wave. Then you got the trades come draft time. It's the offseason, so I don't want to give them a grade because they still need to do something. They still need to do something on the defensive side of the ball to shore things up.
They ain't about to beat the Chiefs and the Bengals, but I think they're taking steps. You know what, Key? I'll change mine to incomplete. I agree. Let's see how this plays out, but I don't think it's a failure.
I'm keeping it as a failure.
Well, you know, I think they passed. This is the reason they passed, because Jimmy G – no. Max, you want to change back to
All right, guys, one more team here on the list. Looking at pass, fail, or incomplete NFL offseason grades for the AFC teams. Key, the Baltimore Ravens.
Fail.
All right, cool. Now, Baltimore Ravens, Lamar Jackson received a non-exclusive franchise tag. They re-signed Justice Hill. They their offensive guard, Ben Powers, signed with the Broncos. They traded away Chuck Clark. They lost tight end Josh Oliver to the Vikings. Pass, fail, or incomplete for the Baltimore Ravens.
Where was the positive news in that show?
It's a fail. And it all starts with Lamar Jackson not being able to get a deal done with their franchise quarterback. Non-exclusive tag is cute and pretty. Now all of a sudden you're starting to hear people like the New England Patriots are sniffing around. The Tennessee Titans are sniffing around. They don't have any loyalty to the National Football League and the other owners. They're just trying to win football games. Bill Belichick doesn't care. So be careful what you wish for when it becomes the Baltimore Ravens and you look at the situation. They didn't go out there and find any receivers for him. They didn't upgrade any of the offensive side of the ball. Yeah, they got an offensive coordinator, but that's pretty much it. Right now, they're in a fail situation as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I'm saying fail too. Look, whenever your negotiations are public with a superstar quarterback who is worth the money, when it's all said and done, and I know whatever you want to call it, collusion with all the owners not to pay him $230-plus million guaranteed, but it's just it's not panning out well overall for the Ravens.
I'll give it an incomplete because I want to see what all happens. If they wind up getting Lamar, especially on a cheaper contract than I thought it would take, and they do well in the draft, et cetera, you know, like I just don't have enough information yet. I have a theory about, which I will get into a little bit later, about maybe if it's not collusion, which is a very good chance it is, but if it's not, maybe what's going on here. All right, look, that was the AFC offseason grades, pass, fail, and complete. We're going to do the NFC in about an hour. Meantime, could the Jets back out?
I thought there was more teams than that in the AFC.
Of an Aaron Rodgers deal? These are the interesting ones. Could the Jets back out of an Aaron Rodgers deal if the asking price got too high? Do they have options? KJM.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
I made it clear that my intention was to play, and my intention was to play for the New York Jets.
Do you envision yourself playing multiple years with the Jets, or is it just a one-year type thing?
If I'm Green Bay and I'm sitting around, you offer me a third or a contingent or a fifth, and if they have no leverage, that's all you should offer. If you're offering me that, I'm telling you to go to hell.
If the Jets don't get Aaron Rodgers, who are they turning to right now?
Be adults, settle it clearly, keep the kids in mind, and move on.
John, Jay, Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance and joined now by the one and only Jeff Darlington, ESPN NFL reporter extraordinaire. Let me see. Jeff, are we going to see him with the palm trees and everything in the background? He likes to
no
show
palm
off.
Trees.
Are you coming straight from 11, Jeff?
Just have to hear. Yeah, I'm driving home from 11. I couldn't get on TV.
I hope not. You driving home from 11? I'm afraid. Well, because then I would
wish,
be.
Why would you wish such pleasures on me?
7:17 a.m.
Pleasures, hey, on me. Jeff. I would be afraid of what you might say. That's why I would hope not.
7 a.m. is early. I mean, you got it's still going, Key.
I've never been. Unfortunately,
those days are past. Instead, I'm just trying to not wake
just
up my
listening
kid.
To that. Hey, Jeff, where do we stand? Where are the Packers and the Jets on this whole Rodgers thing right now?
Same spot, man. And I really do think that this could last a little bit. You know, the only real deadline that we have right now that any of us can foresee is the NFL draft. I mean, that's when these picks get spent that they're ultimately trying to trade for. So I think if we kind of equate this to any negotiation that any of us have been in, first of all, deadlines are the most important factor. And second, when you look at both sides, you're sitting here saying, okay, I could understand to some degree why both sides are digging in just a touch. Ultimately, yeah, I think there's probably a better case to be made for why the Jets will ultimately surrender what they need to give up. But you can understand why they're just not going to simply lay down and do that. It's going to get done. And I think that closer to the draft, that'll happen. But for right now, quite honestly, I know we're looking for urgency. I know we're looking for action. But there's not that much going on in the NFL right now. Even if Aaron Rodgers does get traded immediately, outside of a press conference, Rodgers isn't doing much to get himself acclimated to the team. They can start doing that stuff behind the scenes if they really need to.
Jeff, so you say they're going to get it done. It's going to take some time, right? I think we all agree that it's going to get done. But then you also say at the same time, right, the Jets are going to have to pretty much give in at some point in time.
Yeah.
To be able to acquire his services. But why do they have to give in when Aaron Rodgers is $58 million against the cap for a team that does not want him anymore? Like, what's the sense of urgency for the Jets to get it done during the draft?
So I get that side of it, but I also kind of look at it. I think you make a point, but at the same time, to me, I don't want to call it a misstep because maybe there was strategy behind it too. But Aaron essentially coming out and saying, I'm playing for the Jets. I personally kind of raised my eyebrows when Adam Schefter came out the next day and said, you know, the Green Bay Packers look at this and say that Aaron Rodgers said it himself. He's the greatest player in franchise history, and he plans to play for the Jets. So why would we not get as much as we possibly can for the greatest player in franchise history? I'm not saying it was a misstep, but I'm just saying that announcing that you're going to buy the car that you want in the dealership and you're not going to any other dealership sort of hurts your leverage when you go up to the car salesman and say, okay, I'm ready to negotiate.
Wait, whose leverage does it hurt?
I think it hurts Aaron Rodgers' leverage to get out of Green Bay.
Jeff,
Green Bay can
Jeff, this is what I wanted to dig into, because the first thing I said to Kia Max – was like, I'm like, hey, okay. Like, I think Aaron Rodgers should be worth more than what he's projected to if I were the Green Bay Packers. I feel like I have the leverage now. What are the chances of you thinking that this deal maybe doesn't get done?
No, I mean, it's going to get done because, like you guys are saying too, the Packers have just, you know, the Packers have just as much of a desire to move Aaron. It's like once they get past all the feelings and all the BS and the fact that they sit there and, like I just said, look at it and say, Aaron Rodgers said he's the greatest player. Of course we need to get – like I just feel like there's too much emotion involved right now. And at some point, they're going to all take that out of it and they're going to say, we all know what we all want. Yes. And Aaron wants to play for the Jets. We don't want Aaron to play for the Packers. And the Jets want Aaron Rodgers to play for us. So I just think ultimately we will get there. But right now, all of this is being driven by emotion on every side.
Right, Jeff.
What's the number then, Jeff? What's the number? What are we paying for Aaron Rodgers' services. You're my general manager, Jeff, and your assistant is Max Kellerman. What am I paying to acquire Aaron Rodgers?
Man, I don't know. I'm not good at that stuff. Who knows? These guys all manipulate the cap in ways that'll make it work.
No, not money. Draft picks.
Means like in draft conversation, for the team.
You know that conversation's happened. I guess is the most important point. Like, the Jets know what they're going to be paying for Aaron Rodgers. They didn't have that meeting with ownership in California and not talk about dollars. This
is no, what should it be, though? Not money. Draft compensation
to the Packers. Ooh,
draft picks. I don't know that either, man. I'm just a reporter. What, I don't know. I'm trying to have a good time.
What do you think?
Hold on, Key. Like, I put it this way. I want to get back to the leverage thing because that has to do with what you're asking, Key. I think, Jeff, it seems to me that when Rodgers says, I only want to go to the Jets, it doesn't hurt his leverage. It hurts the Packers' leverage because no other suitors will be there, thereby driving down what they can extract for him, which is good for Rodgers because he wants to be on
a
team with more resources. But my main point is this, Jeff, and I want to bounce this off you. All parties involved have a little leverage, which is to say no one really does.
Right.
It's going to be a fair deal. What's a fair deal if one side out negotiates by another? Maybe we're talking about an extra fifth-round pick one way or another.
I think that's a great point, Max, and I think that's where I'm getting at here. I think we could all make good cases for who has the leverage and when and how this should all get done. But ultimately, any negotiation like that comes down to the middle, and that's probably what will happen. Do I think this is going to be two first-round picks? Because, hey, Lamar Jackson's going to get that with the non-exclusive if someone comes for him. No, I don't. He's a 39-year-old quarterback. It's very different than other quarterbacks. He's not Tom Brady. People equate it to Tom Brady. Tom Brady was a free agent. And, by the way, he would have loved to have gotten out of the Patriots a year before, but he fulfilled his contract, and he got that freedom to do what he wanted. Aaron Rodgers does not have that freedom. So if the Jets do have to pay a little bit more to do it, maybe they should just go ahead and step up and say, you know what, Aaron Rodgers is not a free agent. It's time for us to just pay the tax, even if it's not, to your point, an extra first-round pick. Maybe it's another second or a third. Whatever it is, though, as long as it's not egregious, I think that the tax will have to be paid.
Jeff, real quick, Jeff, before we let you go, OBJ, after his workout, what's the story with him?
Look, it's going to come back to him getting his pick. From what I've understood behind the scenes, like, he is not trying to be greedy here, that he's going to take a reasonable, fair deal. I would say probably upwards of five, but not like, I don't think it's going to be double digits. But he'll wind up with a team that he wants to be on. And again, it's one of those things where he's probably smart to wait it out. You see a lot of these running backs right now, Ezekiel Elliott, Leonard Fournette, those veteran kind of guys. Teams do want them still. Just because they don't sign right immediately doesn't mean the teams don't want them. It just means that maybe they want to feel out the draft to see if they get more affordable players. But eventually, those guys are going to wind up on good teams, probably trying to make a championship run.
ESPN NFL reporter Jeff Darlington.
See you at Prime 112 later, Jeff.
All right, Jeff.
My man.
Back corner table, baby. You know how we do it.
That's right.
Thanks, Jeff.
All right, boys. Thank you.
Hey, basketball Hall of Fame coach Tom Izzo joins us to discuss his Michigan State Spartans advancing to the Sweet 16, holding it down for the Big Ten. Keyshawn, J. Willimax, ESPN Radio.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack your 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th, one-time use only, not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/unsportsmanlike today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/unsportsmanlike.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max.
Tom Izzo, Michigan State's head basketball coach. He takes on my USC Trojans in the first round. I'm going to give him congratulations on that loss and an early retirement after we smack him real quick in the first round, Coach Izzo.
We'll have our work cut out for us, but I guess me and you all have to put a steak dinner on it.
Yeah, we can do that for sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
The Spartans close out the Trojans 72-62.
Did that go the way you thought it was going to go? Nope.
That sound courtesy Westwood One NCAA Radio Network, and we are joined now by one of the star coaches in all of college basketball, Michigan State head coach Tom Izzo. Morning, Coach.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Good, Coach. I was talking about pre-game prep talk. That's what I was all talking about. Not the real game. Just
Tom,
a little
that sounds like a
pep
great
talk.
Steak dinner that Key's going to owe you now. I look forward to
Where
that.
Where do you plan on going?
Well, I'm taking, you know, I'm going to take my wife with, too, because I know he makes enough money. So I just want the best pizza place. We don't need the steaks. I'm kind of a pizza guy. So we'll go to a pizza place, save you a little money.
All right. We're all with that. Nice and pizzy.
Tom, congratulations on your win against Marquette and being into the Sweet 16, man. I do want to ask you, after the game, you seemed extremely emotional. Could you take us back to that moment and kind of describe to us what emotions were going through your mind?
Well, there's been a lot of things going on here. We've had injuries all year. We had some things. We had the tragedy. And, when you've been in the place a long time, I talked to your old coach, Coach K, and, when you've been in a place a long time, you really have ownership in the place. It's not like you just renting a spot like a lot of times happens. And I don't know what happened. I'm happy for our guys, you and I have talked, it's not our most talented team, and yet some guys that have stuck around haven't left, now they're kind of coming into their own. How good we are sometimes I don't know. We're a little up and down, but I know this, we're playing some of our best basketball here in the last 3 weeks, and hopefully we can continue it this weekend.
I tell you, Tom, it's Hogard and Walker, their games have elevated so much. It's so different than last year when I called a game. But I was kind of shocked. I was texting Zach Randolph, and I couldn't believe that the last time a Big Ten team won a championship was 2000, and that was your squad. Like, what do you take about the Big Ten struggles overall in the tournament? And that theme being floated out there.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we've been there enough times. We've been there six other times. Just couldn't find a way to win it. There's been, I think, three times we had multiple teams in the Final Four when I was there. We had Ohio State. We had Wisconsin, Illinois once. So, sometimes we had two there. And as you know, the tournament's about matchups. And I think this year, the sad part is I thought Purdue was awfully good, but I think we beat the daylights out of each other during the year, and there were a lot of bad seeds. I mean, we had a 1-4, and then everybody else was a 7, 8, 9, 10 seed, and when you do that, you're going to play the best people early, and I don't know. I guess I got a lot of good excuses, but the truth of the matter is we didn't get it done. We're not getting it done, and we got to get it done. So I don't know when that'll be. I thought Purdue had a real shot this year. I really liked Indiana. But as you see, the basketball world, like you and I talked about early, Jay, is topsy-turvy right now.
Yep.
Coach, when you look at the way things have gotten to the point in the Sweet 16 and it shook out for many teams that's left, who would you see? Obviously, Kansas State is in your way right now, but as a collision course goes on, who you see as the toughest out of the teams left outside of Michigan State?
Well, not sure we're the toughest, but I will say this. I thought Duke was playing really well, and then Tennessee beat them, and Tennessee looked like the most physical team. It looked like back when I had Cleaves and Randolph, you know, it was a football game on hardwood, you know, and that game was as physical as I've seen. I think we played Alabama early in the year. We played Tennessee in an exhibition game, so we played them all. And Alabama has proven, you know, they get a lot of credit for their three-point shooting, but, you know, they are one of the best defensive teams in the country. And so I think you still got to give them that. They can beat you both ways. And the Miller kid is maybe the best player in the country or one of. And, you know, and I wouldn't count out the UCLAs and Gonzagas. I mean, Gonzaga just gets it done with Timmy. And UCLA, I think he's a hell of a coach. And they might be the toughest with the forward they got out there. We played them 2 years ago. They beat us to go to a Final Four and on that year. And so, God, I got a lot of good memories of teams that have beaten us. So sooner or later, maybe we can beat somebody.
2000 National Champion Basketball Hall of Famer, Michigan State head coach Tom Izzo joining us here on Keyshawn, J. Will and Max. Tom, you and I have talked about this, and I've talked about this openly with the guys. There is no way in hell I am the man I am today at 41 years old unless I was challenged multiple times my freshman year and my sophomore year. And one of the biggest issues I have with our sport is the lack of accountability that sometimes these young men and women have due to the transfer portal. And one of the stats that people don't talk about is when 30% of people who enter the transfer portal don't even play basketball the following year because everybody yeah. thinks they're going to be the guy. How difficult, and even some of the teams that we have left in the tournament, Tom, they're older teams, teams that have been through adversity. Young people who have risen to the challenge and accepted the challenge that the coaches have provided, and coaches like you and Dan Hurley, how difficult do you think it is to actually coach young people these days and actually put a strategy that allows them to be successful overall?
Well, two of you guys, no insult, Max, but two of you guys have been to the top level, and you know, I think you know what it takes. And I mean, there's different coaches. Dan Hurley's a great example. I didn't count UConn. We almost played them early in the year. We played them last year. I think he's one of the up-and-coming great young coaches, as I do Shaka Smart. I think some of those guys. But those are high-intensity guys. It's almost illegal now. You know, I do worry. I mean, we all have to adjust to the times. It's not the 80s. It's not the 2000s. But I do think we're taking a dangerous trip, meaning accountability is accountability, you know. And I once, when I looked at an NBA job, I asked Magic, I said, could I coach in the pros? He says, hell yeah. And I said, well, you know, you have to adjust your style, this and that. True. But he said, the great players want to be coached. The great players want to be held accountable. You two were great players. And I'm sure you went through a lot. And I do worry now that, hey, Jay Will, go to class. Thanks, coach, but I think I'll transfer to, you know, hey, Jay Will, shoot some free throws. Hey, Keyshawn, would you run a few more patterns? I think I'll go over here and change. It is getting sad, and if you think it's not that crazy, you're wrong. It is getting that crazy, and it's because they got so many people in their ear, agents and guys to help them transfer, and AU guys. And I worry for the kids. I've said that to you, Jay, 100 times. I'm going to survive. I mean, you know, I'm going to make it. I'm going to survive it. But are the kids that only get maybe one or two shots in life going to? And I'm not saying every place is for everybody, and there's not a reason to transfer sometime, but this epidemic we have is just lacks accountability. You never go through tough times. What's going to happen the next 70 years of their life?
And, you know, Tom, yeah, we coach. Always talk about the star player, Tom, but like, how about like the marginal guys that are getting these NIL deals that think they're better than what they actually are? Like that's the part sure. that's so discouraging about it. You're like, well, hold on, you're a two-star. I know that you got a $100,000 NIL deal, but let's not act like we're a five-star here.
Well, I know this. You two guys would have made a lot of money today, you know, but it still probably wasn't even close to the money you made in your professional sports and what you've done. And I think, Jay, you said it best, you know, would you be like you are at 41? What's going to happen when the ball quits bouncing? As we know, only 1% of these guys in football and basketball make it to where you guys made it. So what happens to them when all of a sudden they don't get $100 for signing a cameo thing or, you know, because it's going to happen. And as you say, some of these guys are living in Disneyland right now, and the real world's going to smack them. And that's who I feel bad for, because we've created some of the problem. It's not the kids. They're going to, hey, you guys would do what you could do. I would have done what I could do. It's not them. It's the adults in the room that I think are screwing this up personally. So have at me.
Yeah, Coach, I wouldn't have had to worry about transferring or NIL or anything, because I'd have came to play for you. I'd have been a lottery pick, top five, one and done. It would have been over with, and then I would have been able to pay my bet off with no problem at all. So, you know, I wouldn't have to worry. I wouldn't have to worry about transferring.
Well, there is truth to what you're saying on, you know, we have such short-range goals. And let's face it, guys. I mean, some of the guys I've recruited from Flint and Detroit, the reason I recruited them is they were hungry to get out of there. They were motivated to do things. If now guys get a little softer. I mean, hey, listen, I came from pretty much dirt poor. I'm sure you guys were in the same boat or similar. And that is a motivating factor. If all of a sudden you're given things at 17, 18, 19, you get a little screwed up, man. I mean, I got screwed up at 40 and 50, so I had to recalibrate. But that's the thing that is going to be so difficult for these kids. And hopefully they'll find a happy medium and we'll get some reality back in this whole deal.
As much as things have changed, one thing remains the same. Tom Izzo is the head coach at Michigan State, and just like in the 90s, 2000s, 2010s, if he wins two more games, it'll be the same in the 2020s. There will be Michigan State in the Final Four. Thank you, Coach. Appreciate it.
One game at a time, Tom.
Guys, thank you guys, man. I appreciate you guys, Max. Thanks. And you guys take care, man. You take care of my favorite sports, football, basketball, and even Max with the boxing, kind of like that too. So you guys have a good day.
Thank you, Coach.
All right, Coach. Tom, appreciate you.
Meantime,
see you guys.
The great Tom Izzo. Boy, some things stay the same, huh? Kyrie appears to not take Dylan Brooks' jersey after Dylan Brooks took his.
What?
In a post-game, what was looked like it was going to be a swap, but wasn't. KJM, ESPN Radio.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio. So, guys, Dylan Brooks and Kyrie after the game. Looks like it's going to be a jersey swap. Dylan Brooks gives Kyrie his jersey, and when it comes time for Kyrie, what did Kyrie do, Jay?
He said, "Nah, I'll pass." He didn't take Dylan Brooks' jersey. I love Dylan Brooks' confidence, Key. You know, like, sometimes, like, overly confident, but swear like he's a superstar in the league. Like Kyrie's going to want his jersey.
Kyrie's going to hang it right next to between Kobe and LeBron. Lucas. Yeah.
Dylan Brooks tried though. Key, he took the whole joint off. He took it off, and Kyrie just kept moving. He was like,
That's because you view yourself differently, and when you view yourself differently, you make the wrong move, and you think, okay, everybody rocking with me. I play in the NBA. It's like, yeah, but when you exchange jerseys, usually that person you're exchanging with is on the same level or above you. You know, in this case, Kyrie is way above him. So Kyrie, like, levels. I'm like, no, I'm good, because I don't have room for your jersey anywhere in my house.
But the best might show. You think Clay might refer to this once or twice before the end of the season?
It's the ultimate sign of disrespect, though, because if anything, even if I don't. Here's what I'm going to say.
You don't need to tell me to let you go, because I'm just shaking my head. I'm not going to say anything because you got this one. I'm not touching it.
My thing is, as a competitor, though, I love this because that is disrespect, right? Regardless of whether you want to look at it that way or not. Because I can always, if Max Kellerman took off his jersey and I'm taking off mine, and he's having me, I can always take his jersey. I don't need to hang it up. I can throw that thing right in the trash on my way out of the gym.
You're going to have it framed is what you're
going to
do.
Right in the trash. Oh, there
right
we go.
Framed.
And then when MTV Cribs come over and they do the backdrop, oh, and Max's jersey ain't hanging.
Ain't nobody following that.
What do you mean?
Ain't nobody following that. Ain't nobody like, oh, where's Dylan Brooks' jersey in your house? The end of your jersey.
Jay, he's an interior designer. He's planned on featuring it in his design show.
You wouldn't know.
Key has a design show on TV. He's going to feature Kyrie.
But you know what I'm saying? Key, you can still take the jersey.
No, but I'm not. But first of all, I'm not swapping with somebody. I'm not swapping with somebody that I know is not going to accept my jersey, though. Like, you should know. You should have a better pulse on who you are.
But he didn't know.
You gotta know, Jay,
because
he didn't ask for your jersey. Usually,
see the video though, Key. He took it right off.
I saw, but you know, usually
that's a hard watch.
You know, usually, Jay, at the end of the game or even before the game. Well, let me get that. I'm gonna get your jersey after the game. And you be like, okay, that's what's up, Key. And then we meet up or cliques. You know what I'm saying?
Probably Dylan Brooks. Probably Dylan Brooks is like, yo, let me get your jersey after the game.
But we already had that conversation.
No, because I ain't never, never asking for another man's jersey before the damn game. Never. If you and I were competing, you would never see me with LeBron as a player. Be like, yo, Brian, you think after? No.
Players that I played with, that I went to school with in college, that I seen for the first time, I let them know, say, after the game, but I know them. It's different. I'm not walking up to Larry Fitzgerald before the game or Peyton Manning before the game asking for nothing. No, you're 100% right.
Yeah.
You want to hear what Kyrie had to say about it?
And even after the game, if we lose, I ain't got nothing to talk to you about.
Yes, you want to hear what Kyrie had to say about it after the game?
You've been champing at the bit to get there, yes.
I think it would be nice to – champing.
Champing.
I insist we use a word that doesn't even have meaning anymore because once upon a time 100 years ago it was correct for some reason.
Who said it was right?
I don't know. The man in the dictionary.
Yeah,
maybe it's a woman.
Who is the man?
All right, listen. I saw that after the game, Kyrie said. I'll probably get it next time. Probably next time. Not this time. I was really on to the next thing, thought process-wise. Whatever the next thing was, as long as it wasn't Dylan Brooks' jersey, he was on to the next thing.
I wonder how many ice chips I'm going to have to ice my knees down. Maybe that's what I was thinking about. That makes it worse.
I wonder what Dylan Brooks feel like, though.
Oh, he probably feels great about it.
Yo, don't matter what he feel about it, because you ain't going to say nothing back to Kyrie. That dude different.
You think Clay is going to bring this up?
I would.
Or Draymond?
Super petty, I would.
You think if Dre came up to his change jersey, he'd tell Dre, no, I'm good, I don't want it.
If I were Clay, I would just send my jersey in the FedEx to Dylan's house. He'd be like, you can have my jersey.
Or no, just make a big show of exchanging jerseys with Kyrie next time.
Yeah, make a Kyrie, like Max say, yeah, right, yeah, Max?
Kyrie's taking Clay's jersey.
Make a big spectacle of it, center court, get the cameras around, just to do that. That was good. Max, you're petty.
You know something about Dylan Brooks, though? Is the NBA more or less interesting because he's in it?
Oh, wait. And the Warriors,
is it more or less interesting?
And the Warriors play the Mavs tomorrow.
Yo, it's perfect.
They play it tomorrow. The timing cannot have been better for Clay to do this.
So Clay and Dre should exchange jerseys with Kyrie.
Warriors at Mavs tomorrow at 7:30 p.m. Oh, that's incredible.
Perfect.
Y'all just – we up here stirring
I'm
it
so
up.
So petty.
Do you think – I want a quick yes or no,
are,
guys.
Key?
More or less interesting, the NBA with Dylan Brooks in it.
Way more interesting.
More interesting.
I'll take it all day long.
He is a well-defined character in the NBA now.
He's a villain.
Yeah.
Like, for better or worse, like, the Memphis Grizzlies have become the villains of the NBA.
Yeah. As I say, Klay gave him a whole verse. Not one bar. He gets a verse from Klay Thompson.
I don't know that you can be a villain of nothing when you ain't winning nothing.
Well, we talk about Dylan Brooks a bit on this show, don't we?
Yeah, but that's here in the last couple days.
How many NBA players get talked about?
We talk about him all the time. Dre talks about him all the time.
No. Meantime, 76. This man just spent the whole segment talking to Dylan Brooks. You deny
it? I just said the last several days. Are you not listening?
Well, sometimes yes, sometimes no. 76 with double overtime loss to the Bulls.
Yes.
Exposed a real cause for concern for Philly. Coming up.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.